It's Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. That is the singular voice of one of the world's most famous opera stars, the late soprano Maria Callas. Callas was known for her versatility, her musical and acting skills, and her complete dedication to her art. Almost no one worked harder than she, and audiences loved her. She could stop a performance before she sang a note simply by walking on stage. During one performance of Donizetti's Anna Boleyn at La Scala in Milan in 1957, she received a 26-minute-long ovation. It was a record for the venue for a very long time. 37 years after her death, Callas remains a figure of fascination and obsession. Terrence McNally's 1995 play Masterclass uses her real-life classes at Juilliard in the 1970s as a basis to explore Callas's triumphs and failures and to illuminate her passion for her art. Angela Iannone stars as Maria Callas, Jill Anaponicek of the Milwaukee Opera Theater, and James Zager, the head of theater at Carroll University, co-direct. They all join me in the studio, and Iannone began with an excerpt from the play.
You have a lovely voice, you know? A charming sound. Much lovelier than mine ever was, and no one ever accused me or my voice of charm. That was my sister. She was the charming one, the pretty one, the one the boys wanted. Anyway, en tout cas, all that got her, wherever she is, I don't know, we don't speak, and got me, where I am, sometimes I think the whole world knows where that is, or was, and which is right now up here talking with you about your voice, your sound, who you are. Who are you? Sophie Di Palma, you've told us your name, but who are you? Tears will get you nowhere, darling. Not in the theater, not in real life, certainly not with me. No one cares how many nights I cried myself to sleep. I sang Norma better than anyone had in years, and I interpolated a high F at the end of the first act. That's all people cared about. When you're fat and ugly, and I'm not saying you're either of those things, you had better have a couple of high Fs you can interpolate into your life. No one cares about your damp pillow. Why should I? Did you care about mine? Did anyone? But that's another story. I can cry all I want to now, but you can't, Sophie Di Palma. You've got to sing for your supper. Sing for your salvation. Shall we try again?
Angela Iannone, welcome back to Lake Effect. Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you.
And James and Jill Anna, welcome as well to you.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Yes, wonderful to be here.
Masterclass, such a fantastic play. And Angela, this is your second time with it, isn't it?
Oh, no. This is my eighth.
Eighth? But second time
second.
Here?
Second. No. This is my eighth production of the show.
But it's the second one for chamber theater, yes?
It's actually the third one for chamber theater. There was a benefit performance many years ago, a fundraiser benefit while the late Monty Davis was still alive.
Okay. How does it feel to come back to it?
I thought I was done with Maria, and it's really delightful to visit her again with these two amazing directors and a cast of rare excellence. It's been delightful. I will be very happy to be back on the Cabot stage, which I think is the perfect venue for this play.
James and Jill Anna, you are co-directing this. How did that come about?
We sure are.
Yeah. This is our, what do we figure? 10th?
Our 10th collaboration as as a pair, James and I, in different configurations. This is one of the first times we've co-directed a project. Sometimes we split into director, choreographer, producer, director, but we're so accustomed to working together. Mm-hmm. We tend to finish each other's
sentences. I knew you were going. I was there for you. Yeah, I think everybody sort of raises their eyebrows a little bit because it's not normally done, but we're very careful. We always talk with each other. We often have coffee before rehearsals. We talk to the designers, to the actors, and we let them know if there's ever any confusion, just let us know and we will work it out.
And Angela, from a cast member's perspective, how is that?
I like it quite a bit. I mean, most directors have an assistant or an assistant director. The last few projects that I've done at the Rep have included an assistant director or the playwright. So positive collaborations are always a delight to work on.
I do think it's an expression of that hybrid quality of the play. So you have a Broadway play that has music as an integral part, and specifically opera. So this being a collaboration between Milwaukee Chamber Theater, Milwaukee Opera Theater, and Carroll University, together James and I kind of mm-hmm. represent the opera theater and mm-hmm. student population, too, that's part of this bigger collaboration.
Is this the first time that's happened? Mm-hmm. Okay. I was thinking, I don't think these three have mm-hmm. been together before.
It's so exciting. Mm-hmm. It's so incredibly exciting.
It's really wonderful. The conversations in the rehearsal room when it comes to the particulars of sort of the opera elements of the play are amazing because everyone in there has such an in-depth knowledge that we have even some sort of like little jokes that we use in rehearsal, like I go left, you know, about a tenor. Do we remember who it was? Because I don't.
No, it's Alicia's story.
No
That's
names.
One of the
things.
No names.
But there was a tenor who was in a rehearsal and at a particular point always went left, and the director of this particular opera wanted them to go right because they had staged the other...
The soprano
to the right, and he said, no, I go left. And we actually referred to that. Like if somebody, you know, misses a piece of blocking or something, we'll stop. And often someone will go, no, I know. I go left. Yeah.
Angela, you just came from a wonderful time at Ten Chimneys.
I did.
Congratulations on being
Thank
one
you.
Of the fellows mm. for that.
Thank you.
Did that experience help you inform this eighth version of Maria that you are about to bring to stage?
Yes, it did. I think my experience there will inform the rest of my life. Mm. Such an amazing group of artists being led by the wonderful master teacher, David Hyde Pierce. And the time there, it really was an acknowledgement, a thank you, a time for us to sort of stand and say, you know what? I'm good. I've got this. I know what I'm doing. And to come into this incarnation of masterclass, not freaking out about any notes that might be given, not worrying about any kind of judgment that might be sitting either in the rehearsal room or out in the audience, so that I have, I think, been able to respond to new direction and new ideas by saying, yes, and let me tell you why I think this will work, and let me take a look at the note that you're giving me without feeling paranoid about it.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's such a hard place for all of us to
get
to.
Oh, yes.
You know, to just kind of take it not as a personal thing, mm-hmm. but as part of the work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and part of the dialogue that you have to have in any mm-hmm. creative and collaborative process, but particularly in the theater and in the opera, where it is all collaboration. Everybody depends on everybody else.
Mm-hmm. And it's all judgment, too. I mean, that's one of the things that Callas talks about in the play. And we were joking about opera is one of those few performance venues like Shakespeare, mm-hmm. where the audience will show up with a script and follow along and check and make sure that you are doing everything they think you are supposed to be doing. And they always carry a bunch of luggage of, I saw this person do it, or mm-hmm. I've heard this person sing it. And it takes absolute iron determination and incredible bravery to stand up there at all. People are going to judge you and judge you harshly, and they can't wait for you to make a mistake.
Do you think that's what makes Callas still so compelling as a figure? Now, the fact that she, you know, despite everything that happened, she had some pretty bad reviews in her time, and mm-hmm. she was skewered in so many ways, but she did it. She did it her way as much as she possibly could. Is that part of her appeal still?
Yeah. I was thinking about that this morning and trying to find the words to express my personal relationship with when I first heard Maria Callas sing. And as a really young student, I remember realizing that hers was the first voice I could identify always.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like when I was just starting to listen to opera, and any recording, I could always tell when it was her. And I think that that distinctiveness, that uniqueness, that point of view, that specific human quality of the way her biology made her sound, and what she did with it, which no one disagrees about that. Her artistry, people are pretty, like, she was an incredible student, an incredible point of view, and such a hard worker. People didn't like her sound. A lot of people didn't like her sound or the way she worked it. But you can always tell it's her. And I think we're in an age now where we tend to iron out quirks in study. And we have an abundance of beautiful singers who really have solid technique and sing safely and can sustain their singing for a long time, but you might not be able to tell soprano A from soprano B.
The word you just used, safe.
Yeah, she didn't play it safe ever.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes her appealing to me, is that she was out there and she took risks.
Well, and she was doing things dramatically. She was doing things that, and Angela and I have talked about this, you know, she wasn't afraid if she was supposed to be lying down or kneeling or running around or doing things that some sopranos might go, well, I can't do this because I need this breath and that. That she was looking at the story, at the play, and delivering it.
It's like a great actor will do exactly the same thing. Yeah. And and she was doing it before it became de rigueur to do it for opera singers. I mean, that in the last 20 or so years, it's expected that you're going to be able to act it as well as sing it. You're not just
going to
stand there.
It's a big sea change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there was a long period when operas were sort of recitals with costumes, you know.
Was she the first
really
one
changed
who really
the game.
Changed it?
Not really.
Not the first, but...
Mary Garden. Before her, Rosa Poncel certainly was considered a terrific stage animal. Enrico Caruso. Yeah, I mean, all great singers have in common that they are always telling the truth. There's a very, very funny story about Madame Zinka Milanov that she was asked on one of the opera quizzes during the intermissions at one of the Mets. They said Madame Milanov was famous for Park and Bark. She'd just stand there and make this glorious sound. And it was glorious, but she didn't bother with anything else. And they said, Madame Milanov, how do you feel about acting in opera? And she said, well, if you can't do anything else. Which was really that sort of point of view
telling.
Of, I'm making great sound. What else do you want from me? I'm singing this beautifully. I'm singing it the way. And it's very exciting sound. I mean, her recordings are very exciting. But if you went to see her in the opera, that you would see her stand there in a beautiful costume and make glorious sound. So Callas wasn't the first.
This play, though, takes place towards the end of, certainly the end of her career. I don't know about the end of her life.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty close to the end of her life,
close.
Which is hard to believe. Because when you do listen to the recordings of the class, the actual recordings of the actual
because
class upon which
happened.
This is inspired.
Oh, yeah.
She has such a beautiful voice, and she is teaching, and she's working hard, and you can imagine a future for her. And then, you know, to know that she died just a few years later.
It's even
pretty
more
heartbreaking.
Poignant. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that imparting, that teaching part of it, too, I find so interesting. That's what I find this interesting about this play is that, you know, he chose to write about this as opposed to, say, her early career in the 50s in Milan or whatever. You know, it's this where she's talking to the next generation.
Well, absolutely. That's in there. If the play had been written about anything else, it would be impossible to do. The smart thing that McNally did was not have the actress playing Callas sing, because there is no faking that.
Mm-hmm. We do learn so much more than just, he does use it as a vehicle for storytelling about her whole life, though the height of her career, the beginning, her relationships with her family, her loves, come out in these memory sequences while we're at the play. So there's a great deal of fictionalization through the imagination of Terrence McNally, you know, inspired by this actual event, which were the classes at Juilliard.
And we are in the classroom. I think that isn't it the opening line something like, you know, don't applaud. This is not a theater.
Yeah, absolutely. And in that conceit of the classroom, trying to transfer your experience to a younger person, it actually gives us a chance to explore things about Maria. There are great moments where she says, one of the students asked for passion, and Maria says, that's mine. That is why I use it. I need it. I wouldn't give it away. But at the same time, she's looking for the students to have that fire. I think so much in the play as well is about how we, as master teachers, are trying to communicate things. And you can teach, you can work scales, or you can, as a dancer, you can teach, you know, steps and things. But to be an artist, it comes up over and over in the play. What is it to be an artist? And that's something ineffable. And so some of the frustration that we see is her going, why are you out here if you aren't going to bare your soul? What are you waiting for? Tomorrow, the next week? Give it, give it, give it. And I think that's something that, well, Maria and Angela both share. They give it. I mean, I've stopped referring. I actually come to you early in rehearsal and I hug Angela because once she becomes Maria, I'm like, well, I would not go
hug
Maria.
Don't hug
yeah.
Maria.
So I often go up and go, quick, before,
quick, do
before
it now.
You
do it now.
You become, because it is amazing, but I think it's the passion, you know, that's something that they share. And I think that's why it makes you so incredible in this role.
Can't see me, but I'm blushing.
Yeah.
I think one of the brilliant ways about the way that McNally has crafted the text is that the students ask the same questions that the audience is asking. Mm-hmm. How am I supposed to do this? What does this mean? So that the students are the Watson asking the questions. And I think that that gives the audience a terrific experience where they might have been sitting there a heartbeat before going, I don't get this. What is going on? And then the student will ask the question that they mm-hmm. were asking in their brain, and it gets answered. But they also get to laugh at the student who didn't know that. So they don't have to confess that they didn't know what was going on or that was their same question. And I think that's a beautiful way to craft that experience.
It gives the audience permission.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
To want to ask the questions, but without having to take the risk.
Yes, exactly.
They don't have to take the risk.
Right.
Yes.
But you do.
Yes.
Yeah, and, mm-hmm. and the students do.
Mm-hmm.
And now, the students that you have singing, they do have to sing, don't they?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. they actually have to be singers and mm-hmm. cast as singers as well as actors.
Mm-hmm.
So who do you have as your students?
We're fortunate to have three extraordinary opera singers in this cast. They're all artists that work with Milwaukee Opera Theater. The first one who appears is Sophie, played by Melissa Cardamone, who has been in a number of projects with us, most notably Fortuna the Timebender, and now she's in a very different role. The tenor, who I like to just call Mr. Tony Tight Pants, because that's one of my favorite lines in the play, is Edson Melendez, who sings with the Florentine Opera Chorus as well. And then Alicia Bernesh, who's a favorite performer at the Skylight Music Theater, is singing the role of Sharon, perhaps the most formidable of the mm-hmm. students.
And the interesting thing about the play is that if you're in a master class and you have a master teacher giving corrections, you actually have to cast the singers that can deliver the correction. So they have to have the goods. We don't have to ask the audience to pretend. We have singers who can deliver the goods.
It's almost like you have to be good enough to be bad.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I cannot wait. I am so looking forward to this because I have to say,
neither can we.
I yep. have read this play, and of course, I've seen, but I have never actually seen it on stage.
Mm.
Oh, so you must come.
You are in for a treat.
I am so in for a treat. I will go left.
I will go Lovely. Left.
Well, I want to thank all three of you so much for coming in today and break a leg.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Angela Iannone stars as Maria Callas in the Milwaukee Chamber Theater's production of Masterclass. Jill Anaponicek, the artistic director of the Milwaukee Opera Theater, and James Zager, the head of theater and arts management at Carroll University, are co-directors of the production. It opens Friday night on the Cabot stage of the Broadway Theater Center, and the show kicks off the Chamber Theater's 40th anniversary season. We'll have a quick break now, and then we'll take a literary trip to 19th century Germany, complete with death and conspiracy theories. It's all coming up on Lake Effect from WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. Thank you.